ASO Radio Theater proudly presents Do, Re, Mi, Fa, So, La, Ti. Do, Koida, a metal man, Ra, Ma, one half. Me, oh my me, strawberry, eggs, Fay, hey, hey, Tulsiuri. So, Bianca, La, blue girl, Ten, Chimoyo. And that brings us back to Do, 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 Koida.
Those clever engineers.
But now...
Time for ASO Radio.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and hermaphrodites of all ages, to episode 85 of ASO Radio. This is NZ17. This is NZ17. I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sad to say that this week I won't be joined by DB3. His orange co-host chair sits empty. But the candlelight vigil continues onward, and we shall produce more ASO, even in my co-host's absence. For truly, anime does not stop for the otaku, but without the otaku, there would be not the anime. Regardless, though, let's get this show on the road. We have a lot of stuff to cover. As some of you may realize, we took off the month of January 2005 for a little bit of recoup, working on the website, getting stuff put together, making all sorts of neat features for you, the fans, to check out, because as we do know, and as we say around here, the fans make the show. And of course the show, ASO Radio, or as I like to call it, ASO Radio. So, I'm going to talk a bit about that update. There's just been way too much anime news since the beginning of the month to cover it all. So we'll just forget all the anime news. No, I'm just kidding. I'll look at the previous week, see if there's anything good. We'll throw that on up. I've just got so many reviews to do. It's ridiculous. We're probably going to have like 8 reviews on this show. Who can really say? Probably me if I bothered to count, but then again, that'll be unnecessary. Of course, we've got our fan mail. We've got 3 different pieces of fan mail that we have up for reading, need replying to. You, of course, can get your fan mail on the air. Just use our fan mail submission form located on the site and send it on in. And then, of course, we're going to be wrapping things up a bit with our interviews. We have a bunch of interviews that we did at NDK 2005, and we're going to be playing those. If I said January 2005 earlier, no, we were on hiatus for January 2006. Year switching always confuses me until like halfway through the year, and then I'm good. Then they change the year on me again. So you know how it is. Anyways, tons of reviews, tons of news, and tons of things to do, tons of stuff to talk about. You know me, I can talk a ton. So we better get on going and start things off with the anime news. Dun, 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 dun. Welcome to the Evening News with Dan Weathers.
This is Dan Weathers reporting your weekly anime news.
Alright, I promised you people news, and news I'm going to deliver. How good it is, I can't guarantee that. If you people want better news on the show, you're going to have to start making it. Now, don't go and take a blowtorch, some gasoline, and pretend you're Godzilla. We'll just maintain with what we've got today. First of all, Funimation seeks a convention crew. According to Anime News Network, at UshiCon, Funimation announced their new convention crew volunteer program. They want to invite fans who are passionate about anime and Funimation products to be part of their convention staff. to learn more about the industry and give free stuff and pay for their convention badge. So if you want to get into cons for free for a little duty work for Funimation, you can find out more about that at www.funimation.com/volunteer. Senkei Sports reports that the Kurosagi manga by Takashi Natsuhara and Kuromaru is to be adapted into a live-action TV series. Tomohisa Yamashita from the J-pop group News will star as the main character, because that's what we all need. More anime based upon J-pop stars. Apparently, Imagination, yes, Imagination, TV partners with Central Park Media to launch a home video label. Shall we click for more? Yes, we shall. Central Park Media will provide sales, warehousing, and logistics services to Imagineasia, while Imagineasia will select and produce the DVD content, market the DVDs, and handle manufacturing. Though CPM's existing partnerships, will be distributed by Warner Brothers Music Division in the United States and Koch in Canada. Imagineasia has no titles to announce yet, blah blah blah, don't care, that was boring, sorry about that. Okay, how about this? On February 6th, the day preceding the Tokyo Festa in New York, the Tokyo Metropolitan Government will be holding an industry-only event called Tokyo International Anime Fair in New York. The event will include a trade show and presentations from Bandai Visual USA, Toa, Studio 4C, Sojitz Corporation, and Tokyo Animation Center. Shinichiro Watanabe at Michigan State University. Yes, that Watanabe. His presentation, or second presentation, in the Detroit area will be at Michigan State University campus, 303 International Center, Thursday, February 9th at 4 p.m. Further details, of course, are available on their press release, which I'm not going to read, but apparently February 8th, 9th, so on and so forth. So if you are near Detroit, I recommend you check that out. Alright, what else do we have? Oh, okay. Fuji TV Network's News Japan recently contacted Viz and Seven Seas to do interviews for a segment on the shoujo manga movement in the U.S. Viz focused on the U.S. market for Japanese shoujo, while Seven Seas talked about the OEL aspect of the shoujo market. Now, for those not in the know of this new acronym, which I myself initially was not, OEL stands for Original English Language, which is come to mean shoujo, or manga in general, which is not actually Japanese in origin, but is inspired by Japanese manga. And so the OEL aspect means that it was originally in English rather than having to be translated. So, shorthand version, OEL means, quote-unquote, non-Japanese manga. Anyways, the interview will be aired in Japan on February 2nd at 11:30 p.m. on Fuji TV Network. Will re-air in the USA on Fuji TV at 6:30 a.m. on February 3rd. You know, there is some good OEL out there, and, you know, if you want to give it a try, go ahead. It doesn't seem to be too mature of a market, but it does seem to be gaining a lot of titles courtesy of Tokyopop and its publishing of many of the winners of the Rising Stars of Manga competition. Will OEL make it in the U.S. in the long run? Well, we'll just have to wait and see. Anyways, enough of my editorializing. Let's do some more news. Starting February 11th with One Piece Episode 59, Heading for Disaster, Cartoon Network will air new episodes of One Piece every Saturday night at 9:30 p.m. The new episodes have not been announced for 4Kids TV. I can only hope that it's not as screwed up as the episodes before. The New York Comic Con has announced details about their anime program. In addition to panels, dealers, and cosplay, there will be an event called Anime Exodus held at Manhattan Club, the Knitting Factory. Anime Exodus will feature a live performance by Mari Ijima and DJing by Greg Ayres. And here's a little something interesting for all of you. We received a news submission years ago about someone singing an anime theme song on American Idol. The song in question, of course, was Fly Me to the Moon, which also, of course, is just a famous song in general. Now, the person emailing us was unaware, though, that Fly Me to the Moon was a popular blah, 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 blah. Okay, enough crap. However, tonight's American Idol, aka February 1st, did feature an anime song, Jigglypuff's song from Pokemon. Thanks to Esmeralda for this news item. Let's move. Oh, sorry, that's a different show. I'm just going to scan over these, because most of these probably won't be... okay, we'll do this. 4Kids has announced on its forum that it has broadcast all 26 episodes of Mew Mew Power that it has. According to the post, 4Kids is trying to get more, but can't say when or if this will happen. In total, 52 episodes of Tokyo Mew Mew have been produced and broadcast in Japan. Palisade President and CEO Mike Horn has announced that the company is ceasing its business of licensing and of licensed and proprietary action figures, collectibles, toys, and other goods. Horn blamed the move on decreased sales in the collectibles industry and the recent bankruptcy of one of Palisade's largest customers. Although the customer in question was not named, ICV2 refers to Palisades as Musicland's first casualty. Palisades did not produce any anime merchandise. So why did I read all that? Alright, crap, come on, let's see, we gotta have some good news here. Anime Network on DirecTV Connection, Infinity Corrections, Otakon Fan Art. Here's something controversial. Finally, some news. Otakon has released an official statement in regards to their upcoming policy change regarding fan art. While the statement does not outline the new rules, it states, Otakon is not implementing, nor has it ever seriously considered, a total ban of fan art, and the changes will allow us to address problems created by those who assist on pushing the limits of fair use, or who are blatantly exploiting copyrighted materials for profit. And the controversy continues. Let's see, 10th International Book Exhibition 2006, feature anime among guests, don't care. Sundred Press, this one's worth mentioning, announces Anime Encyclopedia 2nd Edition. Stonebridge Press has announced some details about the upcoming second edition of the Anime Encyclopedia by Jonathan Clements and Helen McCarthy. The new edition will be updated with anime from 2001 to 2005 and will also feature revisions to the original content. And I highly recommend this book based upon the first edition, which I have in my collection of anime books. Blah, blah, blah. Nope, that's boring. Okay. Ubisoft has announced they will be bringing the Nintendo DS RPG Lost Magic to the U.S. this spring. The dual-screen adventure features characters designed by Yoshiharu Sato, a Studio Ghibli staff member who worked on My Neighbor Totoro and other Ghibli films. Now, hopefully, we'll be able to see this sooner than later. Let's see, what do we got? Lecture in Miami, Funimation Films website launches. According to their website, they will release Dragon Ball Z Fusion Reborn and Dragon Ball Z The Return of Cooler to theaters in March, followed by a preview of Basilisk in April and a preview of Trinity Blood in May. Apparently, YTV's February Take Note mentions Naruto is now the number one show among Canadian teens aged 12 to 17 across all specialty networks. Isn't that special? Let's see, Otakon's now taking pre-orders. For those who missed Shinichiro Watanabe in earlier, we got some more good news for you. What's that you say? He will be present for a bonus event at the Japanese Culture Day at Houston's Museum of Natural Science. The event will take place Sunday, February 12, from noon to 4 p.m. in the museum's Grand Hall. Cultural events include taiko drumming, face painting, ikebana, and more, all of which will be free. Museum guests will also be able to get autographs from Shinichiro Watanabe between 1 and 3 p.m. Exciting and collectible. Let's see. Oh, well, isn't that nice? The Society for Ottawa Anime Promotion is hosting a J-pop dance party on February 10th in Ottawa. The event starts at 1 p.m. and runs until midnight. Details available at soap.ottawa-anime.org. The King of Fighters, another day, episode 3, online. That's right. Free anime! We have a Japanese website, apparently. And in Windows Media Player. And if you want to watch some free King of Fighters Japanese animation raw, be sure to visit www.showtime.jp/animation/KOF_another index2.html. Very long. Let's check it out real quick. Yay! What the process? Oh, they better not be telling me to... Oh, you've got to be a member. Oh, that's just so lame. Disregard the above notice. And let's get on and see if there's anything else worth mentioning. Space Pinchy. That's a funny name. Dark Horse has abandoned its 32-page comic book format release for Space Pinchy and will instead be releasing the manga in graphic novel format. The first comic was due on November 21st. No date has been announced for the graphic novel. Tokyo Pop's Kingdom Hearts Volume 2 has managed to remain in the book list top 150 for a second week in a row at position number 136, down from 108 last week. Let's see. Apparently, Dragon Ball Z Shin Budokai was announced at Tokyo Game Show in 2004. Another Dragon Ball Z game, this time on PSP. Wizard World Boston, cancelled. They couldn't drum up enough interest. Karen Avora, sales operations director for Wizard Universe, has announced that they will not be holding Wizard World Boston in 2006. Wizard Universe has not ruled out returning to the city in the future. And, because she just can't stop, as in previous years, Rumiko Takahashi will release a short manga story in early 2006. Positive Cooking will be released in Big Comic Original Volume No. 5 on sale in Japan February 22nd. So importers, contact your local bookstore. Nako Urasawa Happy will be adapted to the live-action drama this spring on TBS. It will star Saki Aibu as Miyuki Mino. Thanks to blah, blah, blah. All right, let's see. Should we do the top movies 2005 Imaginary DB3? No, I don't know. Are there any good ones? No, I don't know. Let's take a look. Yeah, there's a couple of good ones. What do you think? Oh, I guess NZ, you know, we've kind of done a lot of news. Yeah, but we're almost out, so we'll do it anyways. Okay, well, all right. Okay, I'll read this one, though. The Motion Pictures Producers Association for Japan has published two charts for the 2005 box office, the first for Japanese films and the second for foreign films. The top movie in 2005 was Howl's Moving Castle, while the top Japanese movie released in 2005 was Pocket Monster Advance Generation, Miyu to Hodai no Yusha, which ranks 7th overall when foreign films are counted. Ghost in the Shell, Individual 11's details. Production ID has released English information about the Ghost in the Shell standalone complex, Individual 11, OAV, damn that's long, based on the Individual 11 storyline from Ghost in the Shell Second Gig. More information, of course, productionid.com. Skipping the part about Yaoi, or Yaoi. Anyways, Tokyo Pop has sent out a press release announcing today, the 7th of February, release of Princess Eye, Volume 3, the final volume of Princess Eye, Tokyo Pop's best-selling original English language title to date, or OEL. Also in the press release is Tokyo Pop's first mention of the I Land Chronicles movie, and the first mention anywhere of a new line of I Land Chronicles novels. Yay, it's more about that chick. You know, I was glad when I started reading this news item first that Princess I was, and its ensuing media blitz that's been going on with all of the advertisements was over. But the press release mentions there's going to be more. Crap! Alright. And lastly, surprising many people, Howl's Moving Castle did not pick up any awards at this year's 33rd annual Annie Awards. And instead, lost to Wallace and Gromit Curse of the Were-Rabbit for Best Animated Feature. Of course, all of the winners can be seen at AnnieAwards.com. And I'd bother, but I really don't care. So, finally we're done with the news, and man, wow, that was a lot more news than I thought that I was going to even bother to read. But I assure you that our review section will be much more of me talking, but this time it'll be my own thoughts and not just relaying our news from our partner, Anime News Network. So, that is at least a good thing. Does it suck? Does it rock? Who knows? Anime review. Alrighty, well, man. I tell you, that news did a number on me. All right, we're going to make ourselves an Evangelion sandwich. That's right, one slice of Ava on top, one slice of Ava on bottom, and a whole bunch of other anime in between as we go. Shotgun anime review. So, first up, let me see here. We've got Evangelion Collection 06. Now, I'm just going to read you the back of the case real quick. The first test of the new Ava Unit 4, turns into a disaster as the giant biohumanoid goes insane and proceeds to run amok. When the combined efforts of Asuka and Rei fail to stop the berserker monster, Shinji must face it alone in Unit 01. But his compassion for the fellow human trapped inside the beast becomes his undoing. As Gendo unleashes monstrous power of Unit 01's autopilot, it becomes horribly apparent that the Avas are far more than just machines. The terrifying truth behind the sinister mask of the Ava is revealed in the sixth horrifying collection of Neon Genesis Evangelion on DVD. Okay, so, now that we've got the marketing pitch out of the way, what was my thought on this volume? Well, first of all, I have to confess something. I really, and I'm not just saying this to be nice and everything, but I really hate Gainax. Now, I don't mean I hate Gainax, like, I want to stabbity-stabbity them, and then they spout blood, and then they get woozy from the lack of blood and collapse in a pile as I continue to go and beat their body into ever thinner a pulp. What I mean by I hate them is that they're really bad at balancing, okay? They can't balance a budget. We all know this. We've all seen and have heard rumors of all of their series, and most of them run out of budget before the end, so the last bunch of episodes are haphazardly, cheaply put together bunch of episodes. See His and Her Circumstances for an example. Still upset over that. And the other thing that they do is they're really bad at balancing storyline. Okay, let's take Evangelion here since that's what I'm reviewing. When we started off Evangelion, it was mainly light and fluffy, right? You got your comedy bits strewn in among the action and high drama, okay? But they weren't swamping us with storyline. They kept actual story elements rather on the light side. But now that we're getting down towards the end and we're getting closer and closer to the final episode, 26, they're going and they go, you know what? Let's go and cram a lot of story in here, like we're force-feeding 20 pounds of food into something that can only hold 10. So what we get is really thin soup on the one end of Evangelion, and on the other end we have thick, chunky New England chowder. And this collection 06 is where it really starts to go this way. The collection 05, which had episodes like 14 through 17, you know, they weren't too thick yet. But now we're starting to really get into the thick of things. So, yeah. So, Asuka and Rei fail to stop the berserker monster. Shinji must face it. Then his Ava goes, me hungry, me eaty apart other Ava unit. So, I mean, it's getting really dark, really gruesome. They keep talking about everybody's past and connections and whatnot. Kind of crazy stuff. And Misato is going and she's getting rather curious about the true nature of Nerve and what it is that everybody's hiding and talking about and why they won't just come out with the truth and what Gendo's real objective is. And of course we'll get more to that when I talk about Collection 07, which has episodes 21 through 23, I believe. So how was Collection 06? I liked it. Once again, I watched it in French, as French is the superior dub of this particular show. Of course, I haven't listened to the newly released remastered re-English dubbed Evangelion, but I can't imagine there's too big of a difference since they use a lot of, if not all of, the cast members from the original version. But there's always the odd chance. So anyways, really enjoyed the French dub. It's really the most appropriate out of all of them as far as good acting and everything's concerned. And I'm going to give Evangelion Collection 06 a recommended. Next up, what do we have? We have Neo Genesis Evangelion. No, I'm just kidding you. We'll get to that, like I said, later on. For now, though, we have... The Irresponsible Captain Tyler, Volume 1. What's that I hear you say? I've already reviewed Volume 1? Oh, you're only half right. You see, what didn't come to the attention of DB3 and I was that Volume 1 had 7 episodes. Yes, thanks to the Right Stuff International's poor layout of the menu system and my lack of a box to go and make this apparent, we only thought there were 4 episodes, but there was actually a second page of episodes that had to be accessed by going and clicking on a small orange triangle next to the word Maine, which we could only assume was part of Maine. So I had to go and get this volume back so I could watch the final 3 episodes. So what happens in the final 3 episodes? Well, first, Angel in White. So Soyokaza gets a new crew member who is obviously a spy from the very beginning. She has been sent by the Cyborg Empire. Wait, that's a different anime? Oh, well, never mind that. But she has been sent by the alien race that the war is against in this one. And what are those aliens called, anyways? Anyone of you can write in and let me know, right? Raugon. Okay, not Zybok, Raugon, but I thought that was funny, so I threw it in. Alright, so she's a spy. Tyler sees her, he's all like, well, you're acting real mysterious, and the way you move is almost like a spy. So she's kind of trying to keep on her toes, trying to put extra cover on, if you will, to go and keep up the facade that she is not spying for the Raugons. So, pretty good episode, but I don't really like this new development much. Then, episode 6, Tyler is receiving a commendation, screw that word, for the Soyokaza's performance against the Raugon. But it's actually a bomb designed to blow him up, as his conniving lieutenant has gone behind his back and ratted him out. But, of course, things go in Tyler's way, and the booby trap ends up going and screwing over those who tried to screw up Tyler, and ends up making it so he doesn't have to fight the Raugons himself. Don't want to go into details, kind of funny switcheroo, but, of course, this is Tyler, and we're expecting things to happen like that. And last, episode 7, which was my favorite episode of these 3, A Gentleman's Word is His Bond. Yuriko has had it with the entire crew's lax attitude, and sees her chance to fix things to her liking and the regulations. Even Captain Tyler is not immune to her campaign to make the Soyokaze a first-class fighting vessel. Of course, it would be a terrible thing if the Raugon fleet and an excellent commander were to attack right now. So, this episode was funny because more or less, Yuriko makes a bet with the guys in the hall that she can out-arm wrestle this guy that's been beating everybody, and if she does, they have to go and clean up the ship and make everything go by the book and regulations for 24 hours. Needless to say, even this, going against Tyler's typical ways, still ends up helping them all save the day. And that's it for my vague overview of this show. Can't tell you too much, but I can tell you that I really like these last 3 episodes more than I like the first 4. The show's gotten out of its initial introductory stage, and now it's more willing to go and have fun with things without always throwing new crap in our face. And it's kind of fun, so I'm going to give Irresponsible Captain Tyler episodes 5 through 7 a recommended. So, next up, we have to switch to another tab to see what we're reading. There we are, surprisingly enough, another Maisen Ikkaku review. I can tell you people that this series, I don't know why I keep running it. It's almost as though I highly enjoy watching it. This one was disc number 6. And, let's see, blah, 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 blah. Here we are. Contains the episodes, Godai's Panic, that cat who came to Ikkaku, Godai gets a shock, Kyoko calls it quits, Kyoko's brush with danger, mother's nefarious plot, and Godai in confusion, Kozue's first kiss. You know, I really thought I reviewed this one before. Let me check the old ASO archives, just in case. Of course, if you want to see what we've reviewed in the past before, you can just go to www.nz17.com and go to the ASO Radio website where you can look at all of our past reviews. Now, according to my reviewometer, Maisen Ikkaku, let's see. The last set we reviewed was 21 through 24 on episode 84. So why in the world did I think that I haven't already reviewed this one? I knew it sounded familiar. Oh well. That's okay, because that's okay. It's all okay. Let's see, what else we have? Okay, this one I know I didn't review yet. And do you know how I know I didn't review it yet? Because it's so mind-numbingly mediocre. And it's called If I See You in My Dreams. This one that I'm reviewing is the OAB. Contains 3 little episodes. So what's it about?
Jeez,
what are they all about? This is another lame romantic comedy, okay? And this thing is just so mediocre it hurts, right? Alright, so here we are. We've got a nice guy, never had a girlfriend, wants to have one. He goes to a fortune teller. Fortune teller reads his palm. Oh no, you will never have a girlfriend, you'll never be married, so on and so forth, destined to always be alone. So he's rather bummed out about this. Then, of course, there's a sad, lonely girl who's just too shy and has never really been around men, and so she doesn't know how to deal with them. And so, while she doesn't realize it, she wants the accompaniment of a man in her life as well. Will these two star-crossed lovers run into each other? Hell yeah, they will. Of course, the one happens to go into the other, and through a random act of kindness, they end up sharing an umbrella. Then the guy, of course, gets a crush on a girl, wants to help her. She ends up dropping her key, searches for her key, so on and so forth. And, of course, neither one of them happens to ask for each other's name or phone number or anything. But through a lucky, fortuitous circumstance, they share a common friend who ends up going and giving the guy the information about the girl so that he can go and make his move. And then, of course, as soon as the guy goes and happens to meet up a girl, we have to introduce the romantic rivals. You know, the guys have nothing that the average guy has. You've got one who, though short in stature, is the largest, most powerful real estate retailer in all of Japan. Then you've got another one who's like 6 feet tall, a giant among men, athletic, good-looking, has a shiny smile, you know, the whole nine yards in a really fancy car, whereas our hero has none of these things. I mean, seriously, this show cannot get any more average, typical, mediocre anime romantic comedy, right? Because the very next episode, let's all go to the frickin' beach. And, of course, these, like, right, okay, we've got two virgins here, the guy and the girl. Never been with anybody. And then as soon as they meet each other, oh, all the girls are now hanging all over, you know, I don't even remember his name. So, okay, they're all hanging over him now. And then, of course, his rivals are also hitting on the girl. And it's like, what the crap, man? Nagisa is having all these guys hit on her. Misoru is having all of these girls hit on him. And, of course, it's like, let's all hit on them now that they're, you know, wanting to be with one another. Of course, he keeps going and getting in awkward situations and whatnot with this guy, and so there's always these misunderstandings which leads her to say that she hates him and whatnot, and then eventually it shows that he was just trying to be doing the honorable thing and it wasn't a miscircumstance and she forgives him, so on and so forth. Third episode comes along, he gets in an accident trying to go and explain things to her, ends up in the hospital, she realizes after she starts making out with the handsome dude that she really likes the guy, and then she ends up going and running to him in the snow at the hospital, and they end up collapsing in each other's arms in the snow after confessing their love to each other. Really boring, typical crap. I mean, I had to fight away the sleep when watching this one. It was just that abysmally average. I realize these are supposed to be shotgun reviews, people, but I had to get the point across. Avoid If I See You in My Dreams at all costs. The cover, you look at this thing, right? The first thing you're going to go is, holy crap, this must be some sort of ecchi or hentai or something, because all it is Nagisa wrapped up in a single, like, bolt of cloth, and it's like, whoa, crap. So you're thinking this show's going to be something completely different than a romantic comedy. Then when you watch it, it's a really boring romantic comedy. So, yeah, If I See You in My Dreams, I'm not even giving this one a neutral, because it's not that, but it's so, every element is so typical and done and tried that I have no choice but to give this one a not recommend it. Next up, we have The Slayers, disc number 2. This contains episodes 7 through 13, and no, I'm not going to go and read you what each of these are about. Essentially, Gori and Lena and Zelgadis all have to go, the first half they have to go and take down the Red Priest Rezo, who has resurrected Shabernigdo, all in an attempt to get his eyes. Don't want to give too much away here, but they handled it really well. The only thing was, is that they ended up defeating this great evil creature in episode 8. and it really blows your mind because you're expecting not to have a grand finale until like episode 12 or 13 in a series. But no, they end up destroying Cybernigido, and then Gory and Lena part ways from Zelgadis, who has other things apparently to which he must attend. And so they go along, and they end up going and meeting, I'm missing the name, but they end up going and meeting a girl who is a great lover of justice, and she seeks to go and bring this upon the bandits of the woods. Kind of like a modern-day Robin Hood, but very overzealous and seeking justice at all points. Jumping out of trees, trying to take out the bad guys, but ending up flipping on her face and providing much slapstick humor in her bungling. And then we find out this girl is none other but a princess, and that her father, the prince, needs assisting by Lena. At this point, Gory and Lena had been separated, but wind up again with each other as they're going and helping out these bunglers. And so it's really kind of light on the whole storyline, but the characters are charming. The animation, especially for its time, very high quality, very likable, and so you'll have to not try to think too hard, but this makes a great television series, and it's really great for having on in the background while you're working on something else. So I'm going to go and give The Slayers, episodes 7 through 13, disc 2 of 4 of the DVD collection, a recommended. And let's see, Gravitation. Man, that was horrible. And we did Collide a Star, pretty sure. So all that leaves me to do now is Neon Genesis Evangelion Collection 08. So, what did I think of this... Wait, 08. I'm sorry, I meant 07. So what did I think of this second-to-last compilation of episodes? Well, to be quite frank, I thought that this last set of episodes that I've watched, this so-called 21 through 23... had some of the best story yet. But it was delivered in quite too much of a concentrated dosage. You remember that chunkiness I talked about earlier? Well, it's twice as chunky in Collection 07. And we're getting lots of revelations, a lot of people going and listening to their heart and following through with their emotions rather than going through with logic and whatnot and all trying to go and rip apart the shrouds that have been put over the truth in this collection. Don't want to give too much away. We're getting really close to the end of this series. But I will say that it's interesting the way that it's going, and hopefully it can all be wrapped up well in the controversial episodes 24 through 26. Of course, we're going to be going and reviewing these on a later date. So, what did I think of Collection 07? The voice acting, still pretty freaking awesome on the French side of things. The English has been getting progressively better throughout the series as well. But like I said, the story is too much chunky, so while I enjoyed it, while it's necessary, I'm going to go and give this one a neutral. Let's go ahead and see if Gainax is going to fall through at the pass, or if I'm going to have a pleasant surprise and be able to give this next Collection 08 volume a highly recommended. We'll just have to wait and find out, though, because this is the end of our Shotgun Reviews for episode number 85. So now it's time to move on to the fan mail.
Fan mail. Fan mail. Fan mail. Fan mail. Fan mail. Fan mail. Fan mail. Fan mail!
Our first fan mail comes to us courtesy of Warp Shadow. Subject, episode 84. It's like that episode was just yestermonth. He writes, "First off, I sincerely apologize for recommending Gravitation. I was thinking it would be the next Kashan," and hilarity would ensue, because of the horribleness of Kashan, we had made fun of it in a past episode of Aso Radio. But he continues, "And I guess, in a way, I was right. I have seen further into the show than you have, and let me tell you, it doesn't get better. Again, I am quite sorry. On a lighter note, congratulations on having 125 reviews on your show. I know from experience that reaching a total like that is hard work. Hard work indeed. Warp Shadow's been working on the Anafanaticu side of things, and he's gotten our reviews on Anafanaticu to well over 200, well over 300. I think this man has even taken it well over 400. Warp Shadow is an anime reviewing machine, one hand-built by the finest crafters of the Northwest. Anyways, Gravitation, it was horrible. Warp Shadow, I can say I did not enjoy it, but at least I didn't have such a strong negative reaction to it as DB3 did. Felt sorry for the guy. Made such repulsed faces and what have you during the show that, I bet that's not a program he wants to see again in the future. Let's see then. So this episode, in conjunction with several others, will probably be putting us over the 150 review mark. If not this episode, then very, very soon. Anyways, thanks for the mail, Warp Shadow. And of course, if anybody wants to send us an email, check out our fan mail section on the website. Next up, we have one from Natalie P. Subject, in which I review some anime. And she writes, "Hey, NZ17, how's every little thing? I thought I'd drop in and tell you some of the anime I've seen recently, and what I'm planning to get in the future. I was so excited when I checked out your website, and I saw that you reviewed Gravitation." This is where it goes south, though. "But you only gave it a 1.5 overall rating. Between me and my gay fetish, we personally awarded the DVD a 3.5 for outright cheesiness, and for Kay, the manager who carries all the guns everywhere. He makes the whole show worthwhile. You'll have to humor me and watch the last three episodes. They had me laughing. Well, if such an occasion makes it that somebody in my near vicinity has the last volume, I'll take it upon myself and see whether or not I'll regret doing that. Hopefully, I'll be able to tell you in the future that it was funny and uproarious. Moving along, I was hoping that you had reviewed Wolf's Rain, but no luck. So I'm buying it without your wise reviewing. But then again, we don't really have the same taste in anime. I bet you really enjoyed Steamboat. I was really disappointed by the whole thing. So disappointed, in fact, that I fast-forwarded through the last 35 minutes of it, hoping desperately to see one of the mind-numbingly bland characters die. But no one did. Well then, welcome to the world of the director of Akira and Ghost in the Shell. Anyways, sorry. I was so sad after I watched that movie. Miyazaki could have done so much better than a full hour of shots of hands cranking levers and turning pressure gauges while voices cry, 'We're not going to make it! It's going to blow any second!' And 40 minutes later, it still hasn't blown up. They're still cranking levers, and they're still saying it's going to blow up." Well, I haven't reviewed Wolf's Rain because I never got into it enough to watch it on television. Be expecting, however, me to review Full Metal Alchemist once that series ends on its run on the Cartoon Network. And I must say that Full Metal Alchemist is one of the favorite anime series of mine that has come around in a very long time. But yes, no Wolf's Rain. If we had T-Man on the show, I'm sure he could have supplied quite the review of it, as he thoroughly enjoyed it. As far as Steam Boy is concerned, however, no, I would not enjoy Steam Boy, because Steam Boy looks rather retarded, by my belief, and it's got that whole taint of from the same crater as Akira and Ghost in the Shell. So, you know, I'm not going to do that. Oh, wait, maybe he didn't make Ghost in the Shell. But that's why I have a fan mail section, so you people can write in and correct me on things that I don't bother Phil looking up. Natalie P. continues saying, "Oh, and Media Play is going out of business, so I bought Ronin Warriors. I watched it and when I was like 14 or so and liked it. The OAV. I still haven't finished that piece of crap. What a waste of $6. Well, sorry to hear that, but that's the way it works. Anime has a lot of chaff in the grain, so you gotta sort through to find those little kernels of goodness. Lastly, we have, let's see, have I seen any other anime? Not that I can think of, actually. I think I already told you that I liked the first half of Hellsing. The soundtrack rocks, too. And I'm sticking to Fruits Basket. And that's about all. Give my love to your fans and to DB3. Much love, Natalie P." Well, thanks for writing in, Natalie P. And thanks for supplying us with some great fan mail to read on the show. anything that goes and boosts my ego is fine by me. And looking at my great big list of anime that we've reviewed on the show, I can see that DB3 has not reviewed Helsing on our program. I'm going to have a talk with him when and if I see him again. So now let's wrap up this section, or this section of this section, with the final fan mail. This one's from Warp Shadow concerning episode 76. Subject, fiction. He writes, I just listened to episode 76. Yes, archives are a good thing. And I listened to your review of the Yuki Kajira CD. One question. Have you seen Dot Hack Sign, but not Aquarian Age, nor? I have found that I have had some trouble enjoying J-pop if it isn't connected to a show that I have seen. I have a feeling that this may be true for you as well. Maybe your opinion of the CD will change if you see Noir. Aquarian Age isn't a show I would recommend. No, I have not actually seen Aquarian Age nor, N-O-I-R, for those listening. And I would like to see Noir. It looks like an interesting show. Don't get me wrong, though. I do enjoy this CD. It just, after a while, starts to sound like a lot of the same. So while fiction has its good points, it's better to go and listen to the individual tracks separately from each other than listening to them all at once, as it's kind of like, let's say it's kind of like a spice. They're very tasty, but you don't want too much all at once, or else you're just going to go and blow your mouth out. So you need to go and just have a little bit of Yuki Kajira at a time, and then it's all good. Which is why her music makes really good stuff for television shows. So I guess that does it for the fan mail. And I'm going to take a little bit of time talking about some future updates for NZ17 Productions and ASO Radio. Because this is the part of the show that I take to talk about that sort of stuff. How convenient that I start talking about it now. But first of all, I want to give a great big shout-out to all of those nice people that decided to go and mirror the latest Full Metal Alchemist episode, A Rot at Heart, episode number 45, because we're getting really close to the end of that Full Metal Alchemist series, and I unfortunately missed it again this past weekend. And so, thanks to these people, I was able to watch it. Show's getting really great, people, and if you haven't been watching it, I recommend you pick up the DVDs and get caught up to speed. Regardless, though, let's get back on track, focus on what I have to talk about. I'm going to be rolling out a new feature on NZ17 Productions, and this feature concerns largely ASO Radio, but also concerns our sister sites, Anafanatiku and Macro will be the comic. I'm going to be adding a podcast to the site, or, if you will, an enhanced RSS feed. So what's all this mean? Well, a podcast is essentially a list of updates sent to your favorite news reader, such as iTunes or Podcaster X or various programs out there that do this sort of thing. I myself love using the very nice program Liferia. So this RSS file or podcast contains a bunch of headlines from our site, and it will also contain links to all the latest ASO Radio episodes. So, for example, if we go and we update, say I put up episode number 85, the podcast / RSS feed, it's really the same thing. The only difference is that podcasts contain links to multimedia files, which then a podcasting application will automatically download. But you can actually use this RSS file with any program that supports it, like Google's homepage, Yahoo's homepage, a million and one programs for Windows, Linux, and Mac that do it. The Yahoo widgets do it. There's a ton of stuff. Most blog sites support the use of it, too. So you could throw the NZ17 Productions RSS file into your blog, and then your visitors can see what is happening on the site. But the benefit that this all has, and I really hope it's a great benefit because I've spent a lot of time working on it, As a matter of fact, this thing is taking so long that I won't have it up in time for episode 85, but we will have it up for episode 86. But the nice part about this podcast thing is instead of going and having to check the website every other day or so, trying to see if there's a new episode coming back week after week, and, you know, having to deal with the disappointment of not seeing an update, or having the frustration of missing an update or two, like if we have an updating blitz and do several episodes in a week, the podcast will automatically be updated whenever I go and I put a new episode up on the site. So if you subscribe to our feed, if you will, if you subscribe to the file using iTunes or whatever piece of software you choose to, you will instantly see the new episode the moment that it goes up on the website. So if you're not the sort that likes getting our What's Up newsletter or checking the site often, you can just subscribe to this feed, and then you'll know as soon as a new episode comes out without actually having to manually check the site yourself. Saves a lot of time, saves a lot of effort, and we can also use it to list Acer Radio in the iTunes Music Store's podcast directory. And as we all know, there are over a million subscribers to iTunes, and that in turn means that we can go and bring Acer Radio to an audience of over a million new listeners. Of course, that's potential. I'm sure only about 1% of those care about anime, but still, even if only 1% care, that's potentially 10,000 more listeners of Acer Radio. And that's something that I would most sincerely like to bring to the fold, because after all, the fans make the show, so the more fans we have, the better the show can get. Like I said, I'll have this RSS/podcast stuff all done up and together on the show by next week. I'm thinking probably, I will have it up on Sunday, February, come on, pull up the calendar. There we are, Sunday, February 12th will be the day that I'm shooting for to go and get this up on site. Let's see, what else do we have for updates? Oh, yes, I'm doing a lot of usability updates for ASO Radio. I'm introducing a lot of, if you will, professional pages to the site, things like our privacy policy, terms of service, licensing for our episodes, all that sort of stuff. Going to add that information to Acer Radio, and by extension, this is going to be site-wide information, so it'll also be showing up on Anime Fanaticu and MacRobo V the Comic. And so it gives us a bit more professional image, you know, and contains information for those concerned about those sort of things. I'll also be increasing the usability of the site by making all the links underlined, so those people that are colorblind or hard of seeing can more easily tell where the links are on our pages. Plus, I make visited links. They'll now show up slightly different in color, grayed out, if you will, so people know the site's sections that they've been to and those that they have and been easily able to tell by just a glance. Lastly, besides for all of these updates, and briefly I should mention that after I get Acer Radio working with the RSS feed, I'll be adding Anime Fanaticu and MacRobo V to those as well, so that way you can keep up on all the Acer Radio /Annie/MacRobo V news with one single feed, the NV17 Productions news feed, and so you'll know whenever Warp Shadow posts a new review, whenever MacRobo V gets a new comic, and whenever ASO gets a new episode. Okay, so the very last thing that I need to talk about is Club NG. Some of you may remember me talking about this quite a long time ago, and since then it's more or less been stagnant. In other words, no new development has happened, and so it's kind of fallen from memory. But that's going to change soon, because I am planning by the end of February to go and have relaunched Club NZ. Now, Club NZ is an exclusive, members-only, paid-for club, so you got to pay to get in. But what does this go and give you? Well, I've been thinking about that. You've got to have something good, but it can't be something so good that your casual listeners will be mad about that. And so I finally came up with the perfect way to do that today. What it will be is that Club NZ will exclusively have Acer Radio's older episodes. That's right. Everything from episode 50 and earlier that we have on hand will be contained within the Club NZ locale. So the only way to listen to our old episodes is either buy the Acer Radio CDs, which also the NG17 Production store. Sadly neglected. Going to have to go and update that within the next couple of weeks, too. But, so the only way to listen, buy our CD or join Club NZ. Now, the nice part about joining Club NZ is that you'll have access to all those episodes instead of just a select season of episodes, so you can listen to all that you wish. Now, the other thing, though, is that old episodes are nice and everything, but they kind of lose their value because they're not brand new. So, the other thing that's going to be exclusive to Club NZ is higher quality ASO radio episodes. And when I say higher quality, I mean higher audio quality. The episodes that we record and upload are recorded at 8 kilohertz mono and at 16-bit. And then I go and I compress these very highly in order to make them convenient for dial-up users to download. So this is all fine and dandy, but it kind of leaves our broadband listeners with, well, they have a lot of bandwidth, but they're not getting any higher quality versions of ASO radio. And if you got the bandwidth to burn, you might as well go for the higher quality stuff. Yes, my thoughts exactly. So, what we'll be doing is starting with episode 86 onwards, there's going to be two versions of every episode. We're going to go and have a low quality 8 kilohertz file, but it's going to be MP3 instead of Ogg Vorbis. The reason for that is that podcast, or rather I should say iTunes, only accepts and can only play MP3s. Apple, in their finite wisdom, has chosen not to support Ogg Vorbis. So, in order to go and support all of our new iTunes listeners, I'm going to go and switch the standard, if you will, format of the show from Ogg Vorbis to MP3. Now, I don't care much for MP3, but obviously Apple isn't going to listen to reason based on either Acer Radio's wants or the higher quality that can be achieved with Ogg Vorbis. So we're going to have a low-quality MP3 free for everybody to download of all the episodes 86 onwards. But we're also going to have a high-quality Ogg Vorbis version. Instead of being 8 kHz, it's going to be 22 kHz and will be available exclusively through Club NZ. So if you want to go and listen to high-quality episodes of ASO Radio and support our efforts in the process, go ahead and subscribe to Club NZ. It's a simple two-step process. One, register at our forum. That'll go and get reserve you a username and password so you can go and comment in our forum and suggest things. And of course, we take higher priority with the requests of those official Club NZ members. The second part you have to do is, after you join up at the forum, go and look at our user groups and join up with Club NZ. From there, it's just a short PayPal payment to going and getting access to our exclusive materials, including never-before-seen MacroBV content and special Anifinaticu updates. So anyways, Club NZ will see the light of day, hopefully by the end of February, podcast coming out on Sunday, and of course, episode 86 will also come out on the 12th. So lots of neat stuff planned for you, and then after that, we're going to be featuring some short, sweet updates for MacroVOV, and then we're going to focus on putting a bunch of really quality updates on Anifinaticu. Anifinaticu's gone a bit neglected while I've been working on this site-wide and ASO Radio project, so we're going to go and give that a bit of extra polish and throw in some of that usability stuff I was talking about earlier. All right, well, that's enough quote-unquote exciting news about NZ17 Productions and its daughter sites. Let's go ahead and move on to the hotspot and dish out some new, or at least new to you listeners, NDK 2005 Anime Insider Interviews. Come right up and spin the wheel to reveal your hotspot. All right, for this hotspot, we're going to go and have part one of our NDK 2005 interview with Deborah Bai. Been in a large number of anime and a large number of New York acting projects, and some of you might even recognize her from Conan O'Brien. But enough introduction, I'll let Deb go and tell us the stories herself. So now, continuing on with our lovely interviews, we have with us a very talented lady, DB3.
No, I'm kidding. My co-host is not a talented lady. He's not talented at all. Okay, but let's get on to our interview with Deborah Bai. How about that instead, DB3?
I'm just going to ignore you right now.
Yeah.
He's just upset because he didn't get to go to the cat girl panel.
Oh.
Okay, but not really. First of all, of course, Deb is involved with anime, does a couple of voices on a couple of shows, did a lot of various characters, background characters and whatnot. But what I wanted to first talk to you about is, how in the world did you end up doing a sketch on Conan O'Brien?
Oh, well, I'm an actress. I mean, in addition to doing voice acting for anime, I'm a legitimate actress in New York City. I mean, that's how I earn my living, basically.
Yeah. We'll be sure to mention that to the others, that they're not legitimate.
Oh, well, you know, sometimes it can be illegitimate. But, how did that happen? Oh, well, you know, everything happens through a person. It's always, for me anyway, it never happens the front doorway. It's always the back doorway. You know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And I was doing a voiceover for some product, I can't remember what it was, and there were four people on the job. The two lead people was a man and woman, and then the man's best friend and the woman's best friend, and I was playing the woman's best friend on this particular radio spot. And so they were recording the lead people in the recording studio, and me and the male best friend were hanging out in the waiting room, and he and I started talking about comedy, and we started talking about improvisation in Chicago and New York, because I do improv.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
And we love improv.
Hey, who doesn't?
It's hard to do our radio show without
it. I'm sure. You have to be spontaneous. And so we were just chatting back and forth, and I didn't think anything of it. And then we went and did our recording, and then a couple weeks later, I got an email from that guy who was playing the best friend, and he said, yeah, you know, would it be okay if I, you know, if you sent me a headshot? Because sometimes we're looking for people. And I didn't know who he was. I said, oh, are you with some little theater company? And he goes, no, I'm a writer for Conan O'Brien. I was like, oh, yeah, sure, I don't mind sending my headshot. So I sent him a headshot, and he gave it to the casting director. And maybe about, I don't know, 9 months to a year later, they called me for a sketch. I went and taped it. It got canceled. They didn't play it. And then they called me the next week for another sketch, and we recorded that, and then that one played on air. So
what did you do in the sketch?
In the sketch, it was...
I mean, you can talk about both of them.
The first one, all I was doing was petting a cat on my lap. I was sitting in a reclining chair petting a cat, and it was all about Valentine's Day. It was like a Valentine's Day sketch about inappropriate Valentine's Day gifts, something like that. And I don't remember what the whole cat thing was, but they didn't want it. It wasn't good. But the other one, the one that they did play...
It's funny, because I've watched Conan O'Brien.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I don't want to say anything, but I'm surprised they cut anything out.
They cut a lot out. I learned a lot from being on that show, because obviously it's taped live, and before the show is ever taped, there's a run-through of it with Conan sitting at his, you know, desk, and he watches everything. He watches all the bits. He makes suggestions about camera stuff. And the other funny thing was, you know, like, he would curse because it wasn't on air, and so I'd be in the green room listening. And it was hard to believe because you're not used to seeing Conan O'Brien cursing on a little TV. But he's very active in the way that his show
comes
across.
Sounds kind of like Johnny Carson and how involved he was with the whole procedure.
Yeah, like, really making sure that you're going for the comic moment and what's going to be funny. And he is basically the deciding vote of what's funny. So in the night that my thing did not get cut, other sketches did get cut. And but the one that I did that did not get cut...
It makes you feel good to stomp on other hopes and dreams like that.
It
makes me feel good.
Yeah. it was the announcer, Joel. I can't remember his last name, but he's kind of an older... Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Joel Silverberg sounds like a famous name.
Yeah, sounds like an announcer. So his announcer, they did a bit where it was his antique booth, very much like the Antique Road Show. And so I was playing someone from the audience who had a little curio that I wanted evaluated. And so he basically looked at it and said, you know, oh, this this is a piece of crap. Not only are you stupid, but your family has bad taste, you know, and he kicked me off stage, so.
Well, nothing like playing the character that gets kicked in the pants.
Exactly.
You can't have, every joke seems to be at the cost of something else. So.
Right. Well, I will say this. Conan was extremely tall. He's very tall.
Which is funny, because you don't see that when he's on TV. He looks about 6 inches, maybe.
Exactly. But next to him, he's a very tall man. Extremely tall.
Right.
So, that was interesting.
I must be related to Link 1986. they both got red hair.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, though, we've got a little list here of some of the things we'd like to ask you about. First of all, I'm a big fan of His and Her Circumstances.
Oh, good.
And I hear you played a character on that show.
I did. I played a character named Rika. And then I played a lot of miscellaneous, tiny voices, like, one voice that would go, hey, come over here, So it's a lot of individual students. Right, exactly. Some of the students that had no names, so I was them, too. So.
Extra student five.
Exactly. I did a lot of those.
Okay, but I gotta say, I really liked the job you did as Rika. You did the perfect cute little girl with her little pigtails, or however you call that. It's like big flat panels of hair, like tails or something. I don't know what you call that. I really like that.
Oh, thank you.
Good as a group of friends.
Yeah.
We're so supportive of each other. Of course, they list you in big bold letters on the side as doing the voice of Shenfa, or Ling Sha Hao in Shenmue.
Right.
And so that must have been interesting, playing a game instead of, being on stage or being doing an anime or something.
It was the best job I've ever had. Really, it was. The way they treated me was so wonderful. They flew me to Tokyo for 7 days. And if you've played the game, I haven't, because I don't have a Sega Dreamcast system, but...
I did, but then I lost my save game. It was
too mad.
But I do own 2 copies of it now.
I'm
the European import of the second game, so...
Oh, even better. Well, I've never seen it in context, because I don't have the Dreamcast, but one of my fans bought me a copy of... They made
the
Shenmue movie. Yeah. So at least I got to see the little... I do very little. I'm at the very, very beginning, and then way, almost at the end again, you see me. I'm sort of like a little... I give a little bit of advice or something that, I guess, helps him out in his journey. But they were terrific. They brought me out there for 7 days, and I think I recorded for a total of 45 minutes in 7 days. That's it. So the rest of the time was just fun in Tokyo, which I love.
Pretty wild.
Oh, it was great. Really great.
So then, was your character not in the second game?
She probably is in the second game. There were some weird issues. They didn't bring me back for the second game. I didn't even know there was a second game until one of my fans had mentioned it to me. But there were some issues that had gone on, and I can't really go into it just because I don't know all the details of it, but the man who was responsible for, he was the go-between between Sega and his own company that was hiring the actors, he was let go. And so there were some contractual issues that I think prevented them from using me again. And that's...
So kind of like the turmoil of the fallout of Sega from the console business kind of rippled throughout everything, huh?
I don't know. I wanted to do more, but they, based on the contract that I signed, it had to be through a certain channel of people. And the middle person in that channel
was not there.
Exactly.
Was gone.
So they couldn't go directly to me. They needed that person, and he was gone. And he wouldn't allow for that to happen.
Well, hopefully that contract will expire by the time the third game comes out.
That would be great.
Supposedly, they have all of the textures and all the story and everything done for that.
Wow.
But they're just seeing which of the 3 big console makers is going to go
with
the highest bid for that. And then they're going to release all of the rest of it on there. And if I remember right, they don't want to just pick up after the second game.
Right.
Because the first game was the first chapter.
Right.
The second game skipped chapter 2, but did chapters 3 through 6.
Oh, my goodness.
And then what they're going to do is they're going to come out with all of the first bunches of parts and the later parts, probably broken into a couple games, but all just for one specific next generation game system.
Wow.
So maybe, you know, we might be hearing your voice again.
Fingers crossed.
You know?
I loved doing it, and it was a really pretty character. It was just beautiful. Like,
oh,
the whole series is beautiful.
The way she looks. It's
yeah.
Pretty awesome. The cover, if you get a chance to do a cover of the second game,
yeah.
I don't know if she's on it or not, I think, but I'm not sure, and it's very lovely.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, it's just
you
really pretty.
Suzuki's the man, I guess.
Yeah, really beautiful.
All right, well, okay, I've seen this one also, Ayane's High Kick.
Yeah, very silly.
it was a very silly show. Actually, surprisingly, I don't like sports,
mm-hmm.
but I do like sports anime.
Ah, okay.
This is one of the few that I've watched.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, chaff in the grain.
Right.
And this is one of the ones that I thought, hey, you know, that was pretty cool.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed
that. Did you, like, run in pace and place and pant and whatnot when she was jogging and
yeah.
all that jazz?
Yeah. I think Monica Rial also, she talks about being very physical when she's recording, if it's an exert sound or running or panting, and it's the same thing for me. I get very physical with what I'm doing. If it's, you know, panting, if it's running, I'll probably run in place. Or if it's for, you know, like punching or kicking, I'll, you know, at least move my body. I'm not going to, like, kick or knock something over, but I'll give the feeling of exertion.
I can only see in my mind you kicking like a Yane.
Yes.
You know, hot leg, hot
right,
air.
Exactly. That was a really fun one to work on. I enjoyed that.
Let's see, what else do we have here? Well, first of all, we're going to ask you about all the improv stuff that you do. Because,
okay.
like I said, big fans of improv.
Great.
And I've gone to a couple of little improv troupes throughout Utah.
Oh.
And, of course, everybody knows about Whose Line Is It Anyway.
Of course.
I got to say, much better with the American version than
yeah.
the British version.
Yeah, yeah.
The American one, more happy, carefree, song and dance. British
right.
one, very structured, very
yeah.
dark.
Right.
Next to no music.
Yes, almost no music.
And it's funny because the funny actors on there were the American ones. But
yeah.
Okay, but anyways, I wanted to say first, is it hard going and having to put certain lines to the lip flaps that you're dealt?
Mm. Yes, I think it is. I think also sometimes with some of the directors or production houses that I've worked with to do anime, to dub anime, it is not frequent that they have really worked on the script to make it fit. There are only a few directors that I work with that actually have really gone through the script and watched what's happening on the screen to make sure that when we actually get to that cue, that when I'm saying it, it's going to fit. So, I mean, it's as if, you know, for me, I literally am seeing it for the first time. The directors should not be seeing it for the first time as well. They
yeah.
should have at least done a little bit of work to make sure the lines fit and that they make sense. Sometimes, you know, I'll come across a line where, you know, just stereotypically, the lip flap has three flaps and there's like 10 words. Not going to happen. It's just not going to fit no matter what you do. So in those moments, then I have to become a writer too. So I'm writing, I'm acting, I'm directing myself. You know, it just...
You're taking on the role of multiple people, huh?
Right, and yet I'm still being just paid as an actor, not as a writer, you know, an on-the-fly writer. So, but like I said, there are a few studios that they're very careful. They really want everything to fit, so they do a lot of work to make sure those lines fit. And if when we get to the record, it doesn't fit, it's not a big deal. It's usually just a little tweak of something. Either I have to just slow it down or they just have to remove, you know, if it's... would not. We just make it wouldn't, and it works.
All right. Well, a big thank you goes out to Deborah Bai and, of course, all of those people that we interviewed at Nandesu Con 2005 for taking time out of their busy schedules to talk to ASO Radio. Of course, expect the second half of the interview with Ms. Rabai next episode of ASO Radio, episode number 86. Also, in the near future of ASO Radio, we're going to be reviewing Evangelion Collection 08. And while DB3 is on a presumably long hiatus, he had to, it's quite tragic, there was a very unusual and dramatic tofu incident, which has rendered him immobile and possibly more northern, perhaps at a higher latitude. And because of this, He is kind of, well, not going to be on the show for the next couple of episodes. So to make up for that, I'm going to play a bunch of some reviews that we'd recorded in the past but didn't get a chance to get around to, in addition to, of course, dishing out some reviews myself. And we're probably going to dip a bit into some of the faux commercials that we made to go and put on the show. And I'll let some of you out there listen to them. We might have a couple of repeats, as it were, but I'm going to go and play a couple of commercials every episode until we get them all done, and that way we can listen to them and have a good laugh at the silliness that DB3 and I went through to record them. Outside of that, not too much more to say this episode. Like I said, going to start putting out some new stuff for Club NZ and different formats and blah, blah, blah. So I better shut up so I have some material for next week, eh? All right. Well, for episode number 85, this is NZ17 minus DB3 signing out. ASA Radio is copyright of NZ17 Productions. ASA Radio is licensed to the general public under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike license. Additional licenses available. For more information, visit us online at www.nz17.com.